Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesaroundtheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Good evening, everybody. Coming to you here live from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with us tonight via our Facebook page for TJSlideways.com, also at TJSlideways on Twitter. A little later in the program, we're going to talk to Craig Mintz and his return to the seat over the past weekend, which resulted in a feature victory. Also, Dustin Daggett will join us to talk about his big win over at Eldora Speedway a couple of weeks ago and some of the pavement racing he's been doing. We're also going to recap the weekend that was up here in Michigan. But my first guest tonight has won 5 features of his own this year, but in 2 weeks, he's going to put on a different hat. 2 weeks from tonight at the Southern Iowa Speedway, the Front Row Challenge returns to Oskaloosa, Iowa. And Terry McCarl, it just seems like yesterday we were sitting out in the rain at one of these things, wondering if anyone was ever going to show up. And now the Front Row Challenge is pretty much part of the fabric of Southern Iowa Speed Week.
Yeah, it's really taken off since the beginning. We're really proud of it. We work really hard to make it a fun event for everybody, not only the owners and drivers, but of course the fans. And so we try to do lots of little things here and there to make it a fun party for everybody, and hopefully everybody leaves happy. We know there could only be one winner in the races, but we want to make sure the fans see a great show, whether it's with the racing or the fun or the atmosphere or something going on that night.
Now, you've been doing this for quite a while now, and you've done tons of different things, the tailgating in the infield, the various giveaways you do for competitors and fans and stuff. After a while when you do this, how hard is it to come up with new stuff to do to kind of keep the thing fresh?
Well, new stuff, it's harder, but it's kind of funny seeing people copy what we do. On one hand, it kind of irritates you a little bit. On the other hand, that's the best form of flattery, I guess. If it's something to help promote sprint car racing around the country, then, we're all for it. So, when we see, Lori and I just pay attention everywhere we go and everything we do and try to see if we see something that would be fun for our fans and fun for our owners and drivers. We've done so much in the past. It's pretty amazing. One year we gave away chassis kits to every heat race winner. One time we had a foot race, driver's foot race, that gave a set of all-pro cylinder heads away to the winner. Tyler Walker won that foot race. So we give away a lot of great things, a lot of great prizes, and we're going to try to keep it up. And this year's the 19th year of the Front Row Challenge, and next year's the 20th anniversary, so we're going to do some really big stuff. We'll probably be announcing after the Nationals and make some more solid plans for next year's 20th anniversary to make it a really, really, really big deal for next year, hopefully.
How has the change been received over to the 360 sprint cars for the Front Row Challenge and with ASCS involved? How has that been received?
Well, Knoxville going to the Capitani Classic on Sunday kind of put us in a bind, I think, car-wise. We've been kind of a stopping spot for the PA guys, the California guys to come and do some testing, or even a lot of the Outlaw guys and come and test their Nationals engines. And, for the PA guys and the California guy, guys that run different mufflers, so it was a great opportunity for them to run the Knoxville mufflers and get their, the fuel systems dialed in on a similar racetrack, similar air. So now the Capitani Classic kind of hurt us, but I think that's wearing off a little bit. And you never know, we might go back to 410s next year. We'll see how things go this year. But last year we had an awesome car count, the ASCS National Series, and a lot of great drivers and a lot of great racing, and we had nearly 50 cars, and I think Kyle Larson started about 18th and ran second, and Kevin Swindell went to the back early, came up and ran third, and Tony Bruce took the Front Row Challenge from the back and then ran fifth, so there was a lot of passing. And of course, Tony Stewart had the thing won and unfortunately got an accident and broke his leg, which was pretty much a downer for us, of course. We certainly wanted to see him win, but we hated to see him get hurt at our race, but he's a trooper, and you never know, he might come back someday, I'm not sure.
Terry McCarl will join us. Back over, we'll take the promoter hat off for a second and put the helmet back on because you're leading the point standings over at the Knoxville Raceway. And with the way the competition is there this year, that's no easy feat. I mean, you look at even the anticipation over Knoxville in the preseason, you look at who's running there on a weekly basis, and you're managed to being at the top of the heap right now. So what do you think, how much more difficult is it this season compared to the past couple at Knoxville on a weekly basis?
Well, I've been going to Knoxville since I was a little boy when they had wooden grandstands, and I look fondly on those you always look back on those years thinking maybe they were incredibly tough years, and Joe Saldana, Joey's father, and Jerry Blundy, and Roger Rager, and Rayleigh Goodwin, things like that. When, you know, my heroes when I was a little boy, you know, going there when I was a kid. But I think, you know, by far this is definitely the toughest field of cars they've ever had, ever, in the history of Knoxville Raceway. And then you throw in, you gotta look at the guys that are there every week. You know, Craig Dolanski, in my mind, is a top five World of Outlaw driver any day of the week and has been for years, and, you know, Unlimited Money team. And there's three or four or five teams there now that have the funding to run the Outlaws. You know, Mark Dobmeier could easily run the Outlaw Tour with what he has, and Ian Madsen. And there's a lot of great, great funded teams. That's kind of where we've lacked in the past, where the PA teams and the California teams have had over us. There really hasn't been a lot of sponsorship, a lot of money in this area, mostly because of population. You know, the density of population in the East Coast is certainly a lot more than here, which means a lot more businesses, a lot more people going to the races and possibly sponsoring a car. So it's just been a lot more difficult to come up with the funding to have the motors and the cars and the teams run with the Outlaw guys. But this year is incredible. And then, as usual, you throw in, like last week, you know, you had Sammy Swindell there, and Jason Myers has been there a few times, and Jason Johnson's been there on more than one occasion, and Wayne Johnson. And you throw those in with, you know, all the regular guys that are running, it makes it so tough to run there weekly. So, you know, right now we're proud to be leading the points. Hopefully we can win this thing. It's something that's, you know, was a huge goal for us. You know, we didn't like running third last year. We had some mechanical problems we don't normally have. And, you know, for a little family team like mine with not a lot of funding, I'm pretty proud of how hard we work. But, you know, it's been a key for us to add Doug Rankin this year as my crew chief to help my son Austin, the mechanic, this thing. And, you know, more than anything that's hurt us is we've been rained out so much lately, it's hard to get kind of a, you know, we were going real good at the beginning of the year and kind of lost our momentum a little bit. So hopefully we can not have any more rainouts and get this thing cooking for the Nationals again, because I think we were definitely the fastest car the first part of the year, but the last few weeks we've kind of slipped a little bit. But, you know, we're leading the points up at Houston's too on Sunday. It's driving Jeremy Scadden, number six. So far we're having a real good year, but we just need to get some more wins under our belt.
And one other thing you've gotten to do this year is you've gotten to drive for a different team, a couple of different teams. One in particular caught my eye is you running for the Davies team, the number 99 car. And they've made their way out here before, too. And that's a very fun bunch, which leads me to the question. You've driven for some fun owners over the years. When you do like a one or two off race with someone like that who's a lot of fun, it is your job. You're putting food on the table with it. But is there an element of fun when you go racing with someone like that?
Yeah, you know, you hope that you try to block out the cost of running a team and owning your own team. It's probably the biggest downfall to being a car owner. You got to worry about paying the tire bill and the engine bill and all that stuff. So when I go to drive for anybody, whether it's Jeremy Scadden or Jimmy Davies, it's just, man, it just takes so much off me, you know, financially to just go out and race and have fun. And Jimmy's been fun, and Scott Boner's been helping on the car. He's a great mechanic. I've always wanted to work with him. And, you know, we've won two out of three times driving his car this year. So, yeah, I just go in with such an open mind and having a great time, and the pressure is off me. And, you know, I've been fortunate. I've been around this my whole life. And, you know, my dad was a race car driver. And, you know, I was fortunate to drive for Bob Weichert and a lot of the, you know, Ron Pack, a lot of the famous car owners. And, you know, I always wanted to drive for Al Hamilton. That was always a goal of mine, to drive that red number 77. But Al and I were pretty good friends for a while. I was pretty close to getting right, I think. I was trying to talk him into it. But it's fun driving for anybody when you don't have to pay the tire bill. But, you know, Jimmy's been really fun to drive for. And I just jumped right in his car, and we didn't make any changes at all. I ran his shocks, his bar combination, and just let Scott and him set the thing up and gave him a little bit of input. We've been really fast. So this week we're going to be running their car at the Illinois Speed Week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then we'll be back in my car Saturday at Knoxville, and then back in Jeremy's car up at Houston's on Sunday for the All-Star Show.
We've seen over the past few years that some drivers are double-dipping at Knoxville in the 360 class and the 410 class. Now they allow them to do so. Do you think drivers should be able to run both classes at Knoxville if they desire?
Well, it's America. I mean, it's, you know, they made it kind of like NASCAR. You know, Justin is really one of the few guys that's doing it every week, you know, and they're not allowing him to be able to win the championship in both classes. So I think he's basically going, he had to determine that he's going for the 410 driver championship, but his car owner can win both. And, you know, if a car owner like his can feel the car both divisions, so be it. It doesn't bother me. You know, Carson, my son races once in a while. He doesn't race weekly in the 360 division, and, you know, it makes it a lot tougher on him, but if he can beat those guys, it's going to make him better. So, I don't know. It's America. If you can do it, it's a struggle to run two cars at once. So they're doing a heck of a job out there. And I think they're right there. You know, he's only second points to me in the 410s, and I think he's probably leading the 360 division. So his car's doing a heck of a job. They don't really go race anywhere else, and they focus on Knoxville, and to run two cars is pretty hard. So the more cars, the merrier, the way I see it. And, you know, if they can do it and they can win, and like I said, he's not able to win the owner or the driver championship, so that opens it up to some driver there. But it's hard to tell people they can't race. You know, you don't want to see that sometimes. You don't want to see someone of, like, Justin's caliber drop down to 305s or something, but you know, I think it's been an advantage for him, actually. He's been able to get a lot of laps on the track. Like Saturday night, it kind of tricked us, and we got a little too tight, and he had a great car and won the feature. So it's been an advantage for him, I think. I thought it might hurt him going in, trying to run two cars at a time, but like I said, they're doing a great job, and it doesn't bother me, and it gives Carson some really tough guys to run with when he's out there, and if he's able to win, it's going to be a heck of a feat.
Obviously, the Knoxville Nationals is something that every sprint car driver that competes in thinks probably at least once of the 365 days a year leading into the Nationals. But when does the preparation for Nationals itself get amplified a bit? I mean, obviously, you're there every week preparing and learning something to try and win the Nationals. But when does the preparation reach kind of fever pitch where it really gets down to the we're really focused on the Nationals itself?
Well, I'll probably start right now. You know, a team like mine, though, like I said, we're just a little family team. If we had the, back in the day when I had the sponsorship, you know, we were focused on the Nationals all winter. We'd get our cars ready and try to really put one car together, in particular, as light as we could and as nice as we could, and maybe set it aside, run it a few times to make sure everything's working properly, and put it aside for the Nationals, or if we had a car we really liked or a motor we really liked, we could put it aside. Right now, we just basically have one car, one engine, and so we just run what we can, but we're starting this week. We're trying to get some new parts coming in. I got a new ART chassis sitting there that we're going to try to fine tune a little bit and focus these last couple weeks on maybe getting it put together and maybe run it to Captain Classic or something to try to see if it's a car that we're happy with. And if so, we'll run it to the Nationals. But yeah, right now, this is crunch time right now for the Front Row Challenge for me as a promoter and crunch time for me as a car owner and driver. So it takes a lot out of us this last few weeks. I'll probably lose about 10 pounds in the next few weeks.
Terry McCarl joining us. When it comes to Nationals, picking your preliminary night, do you really have a preference, or does it matter which way do you go on Wednesday or Thursday?
Well, I've always went Thursday the past 10 years or so because, you know, we had the Front Row Challenge on Monday and then the non-wing USAC Ultimate Challenge on Tuesday, and I needed a day off just to chill out and relax and try to regroup, and that's usually the day we send Austin, my oldest son, out. He's not going to run this year, but so this year's kind of nice. You know, the USAC deal kind of fell through this year. They didn't think they could bring enough cars as when we spoke back in December. Hopefully they can come back again next year or sometime after that, but so that gives us Tuesday as a rain date for the Front Row Challenge, which is kind of nice, and then hopefully we don't need it, but hopefully we get Tuesday off and Wednesday off, and then we can be ready to rock for Thursday night. But you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever, I do know this for a fact. Whatever night you don't go is always the easiest night. When you sit up in the stands or up in the suites or something, the night you're not running seems like an easy night, but that's not true. They're always very tough both nights. There's a lot of incredible talent there, and the cars have gotten so equal. It makes it tougher and tougher. And to see the things like Donnie Schatz did last year was pretty amazing.
Yeah, yes, it was. Terry McCarl joining us. Let's put the promoter hat back on. Are there any surprises you can let us in on? Anything in particular that people can look forward to at this year's Front Row Challenge at the Southern Iowa Speedway?
Well, a lot of the same stuff, a lot of the same fun things. We'll do our, like I said, last year we had nearly 50 cars, so hopefully the ASCS guys, we got some extra bonuses for some of the 360 groups around here. Butler County Speedway over in Rising City, Nebraska just put up $300 to the highest finishing Nebraska 360 sprint car group to their highest finishing driver. And Don Longster's Royal Telephone just put up $300 to the highest finishing Knoxville 360 regular. So we got some bonus money coming in already up and above whatever they make otherwise. And we got some bonuses definitely for anyone who has to take the Front Row Challenge. Hinchman driving suits, driving uniforms. We give away a uniform for someone to take the Front Row Challenge along with some other goodies as they come up through the field. If they get the 10th, they'll get something. If they get the 5th, they'll get some stuff. And as they get closer forward without winning the 30,000, they'll still get extra money and extra prizes for winning. And of course, every heat race winner will be getting prizes. We've got wings to give away, front wings from HRP and Vortex wings and some Schoenfeld headers, lots of goodies to give away to different winners throughout the night. And Casey's General Store, our main sponsor, the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, we've been giving away a sounds kind of goofy, but it's kind of nice for the teams. We gave away a free pizza in the infield that night to each one of the teams. So those guys are out there working real hard, don't have a chance to maybe get something to eat. So you can't beat a Casey's Pizza if you haven't had one. They're pretty incredible. But just got to thank Casey's and Musco Lighting and for supporting this thing, and Don Long, Sears Global Telephone Company, for supporting us. And, you know, it's a fun event, and there's a lot of fun things for everybody involved. And, you know, if you haven't been able to come, you can bring your own vehicle in the infield if you get there before 7 o'clock, and if there's still room, and tailgate and throw some footballs around and have your own cooler, your own grill. And you don't get to do that too many places, and see hopefully a great race. If not, there's some great seats still available up in the grandstands.
And one last question about the Front Row Challenge, as you covered it pretty well there. The challenge itself. And we've seen it. I was actually there to witness it see Jack Honschild win the Front Row Challenge. And Lasoski came pretty close at one time to winning it as well.
Twice, actually. Danny ran second twice from the back.
That's pretty unbelievable.
I think Darren Pittman ran third from the back once, too. So it's been pretty close. But we'd like to – people think that – you know, Brian Brown and I got into a debate Saturday night. He thinks that I didn't even buy the insurance policy last year. He thinks I didn't want anyone to win. But I try to tell him that it would be great advertising, and we buy the insurance policy, so I definitely want somebody to win it. So we can't do anything. We can't have any collusion to try to help somebody win, of course, or it'll be voided. But it would be great. That year Hogwarts was an incredible, incredible event, and anyone who was there, I think, couldn't forget it. It was an amazing show.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, with the challenge itself, what do you think the key is to get someone to take it? I mean, do you think it's the fans maybe that egg the driver on to do it? Does it take
circumstance? We ran into a problem with paying. You know, when you start paying $10,000 to win, things like that, guys aren't going to give away the front row to go back for $50,000 or $30,000 or whatever. So, Tony Bruce had told me for years if he ever got the chance that he would do it, and sure enough, he did get the chance last year, and he definitely did it. So we got some good incentives where we give him so much per car they pass, and he ended up winning around $5,000 just for running fifth worth of, you know, Hoosier tires and HRP wings and all kinds of other goodies that he won just for trying it and coming from the back, even though he didn't quite make it there. So I think that's the key, is just giving some other incentives where if a guy does go to the back, he's still going to do well. And, you know, Nancy from Hinchman putting up a driver's uniform just to take the challenge. So if a guy takes the challenge, and even if he only gets up to 10th, he's going to win a $1,500 uniform from Hinchman Racing. So that's a pretty amazing deal, too, you know, above and beyond whatever money he wins. So I think that's the key, is just, giving some incentive for someone to do it. And I think the fans cheering him on certainly helps. And going and buying their T-shirt afterwards and showing appreciation for him, you know, giving them an effort to try to put on a show for them, because that's where, you know, really what they're doing.
Well, Terry, let's get down to business here. Where can people find information, and how can they get tickets, either reserved or their infield passes, or how can they attend the Front Row Challenge?
Well, you can go to our website, OskieChallenges.com, and get a number for the office, and you can call our office at 515-957-0020 and get reserved seats for the grandstands. And we now have, like we've done the last two or three years, you can stop by the local Casey's around the Knoxville Oskie Pella, and then one in Monroe, just north of the racetrack there, 14 miles, and get your infield party passes $5 off at the local Casey's in those areas. So you can save yourself $5 compared to the day of show. If you want to go in the infield and get a party pass, stop by Casey's and or call the office and get yourself a reserved seat, and come and see a great show, I hope. I'm pretty excited about it. Hopefully we get great weather, and I'm sure we're going to have a great car count and certainly a good race, and you never know who you might see there.
Yeah, and Terry, I want to congratulate you for making this thing really a part of sprint car racing in general. It's something that we all look forward to, and like I said, it's hard to believe years ago when you were giving Bill W. and I tickets to sit in the grandstand going, please come to my race, and when you're just starting that, we'd be here talking about it today.
Well, you know, Bill McCroskey was a big part of it. He was my, we had just kind of gotten together as a sponsor on my race car, and you know, Lori and I were just, hadn't been married that long with, one or two little boys there. And I had a great idea, and Lori made me do it, and I just really didn't have the financial backing. Bill was, you know, kind enough to back it in case the thing lost any money and help me with. He's got a great mind for a lot of great, crazy ideas, too. He and I made a good pair. He's retired from it now. And Bill is definitely a big part of the history of it and what we've made to accomplish there. So I'm really looking forward to next year, too, trying to put something really, really, really big for the 20th anniversary and maybe make it even a lot bigger show than it is right now.
Well, Terry, we thank you for being on with us tonight, and hopefully we get to talk to you after the Nationals, not only because you had a successful race, but maybe you'll win the thing, we get to talk to you again.
That would be good. If I win it, I'm going to be too stuck up. I won't talk to you anymore, TJ.
Oh, man. You're a big time of stuff. But I can understand that. You might be still recovering from the celebration. You know, so.
One of the other things that I like about the Front Row Challenge as a driver too is our trophy. It's a championship, you know, weight belt like you get for WWF. Carson, my youngest son, was a big WWF fan when he was a little boy, and he came up with that idea. And it actually costs over $1,000. It's an incredible trophy that we got. We kind of dropped it there for a year, but now we're back. It'll be back this year, so it's something that every driver's going to want to win. I guarantee you that.
All right, so the belt makes its way back. Front Row Challenge, Terry Ricardo. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this.
We'll be right back with TJ Sideways Live here at racesonthelab.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserve seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, prepared by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartz.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And yes, I've remembered how to run the board now. We just installed a new system in here. And of course, I wasn't smart enough to rearrange everything the way I was used to. So if you hear random sound drops and music, that's why. But my next guest and I were just discussing that off the air, because some days you're the windshield and sometimes you're the bug. And a few weeks ago, Craig Mintz was the bug and got splattered a bit, and it was on the shelf for a little bit. So what better way to come back than to win at Attica Raceway Park on Friday night? And he's a frequent guest on here. He's probably been on here more than any other driver as a guest, but it's such a good story we had to have him back. So Craig, congratulations and welcome back to the seat, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, it felt good to get back in a car and to be competitive again. I mean, I was kind of worried when we're talking about getting back in a car to, you know, how competitive we're going to be right off the bat, or if I was able to run the car as hard as I needed to be competitive and give my guys a shot at winning. I mean, we don't like going to the racetrack and, you know, we're just going to try to make the show. So, I was a little nervous at that, but we got through the heat, you know, our hot laps and our heat. I kind of knew that we were going to be okay, and that we could at least be competitive up front.
Craig, for our listeners that don't know, how did you end up sitting out a few weeks? What happened to force you out of the seat?
It was just kind of a freak deal. I mean, I've taken some big hits, especially down in Alboro, and we got tagged and got upside down, a couple times, and, you know, the sideways and upside down part of it didn't hurt, and between that, it ripped us, you know, when it was doing that, it ripped all the suspension off of it, and when it did that, it landed awkwardly on the back, and it basically just compressed everything in my back, you know, from my bottom base of my neck basically down to my tailbone. I felt it was about 4 inches shorter. So, I was a little concerned about it. Ended up in the Toledo Trauma Center until 6 or 7 in the morning and went over everything, and I was cleared to go. The doctor just said it was going to be a while before my muscles and some of the nerves in my back would recover. So, I spent some time, thinking about, obviously I haven't missed a race, but I think it was 13 years. So, taking the time off was hard, but, it's best for my health and best for my family to be able to do something. And it's not the worst than having, an injury last a little longer.
Yeah, Craig Mintz joining us here. And like I said, for you, because you don't do this to put food on the table by any means. I mean, you do have business tie-ins, but at the same time, you do have a day job and stuff. So that decision probably was made a lot easier by that, I'm guessing. It was still hard to stay out of the seat, but made easier to stay out because of that.
Yeah, I mean, if I was doing it, doing race car, doing it for a living, obviously I'd have been, and putting food on my family's table. I'm going to get back in that car no matter what anybody says. So, but, when I got a 40-hour work week to be able to provide a roof over my family's head, it wasn't even that really that difficult. It was just, hard to pull myself away from it and say, all right, that's enough for that. So, the better of myself, told myself to say, take a couple weeks off. And, I'm glad I did it. I still, when I woke up Saturday morning, I could still feel it, but, the more I keep moving around and use some of those muscles, the better off I feel.
I think you're being modest with that 40-hour work week. Craig Mintz
joining
us on the line. And so let's talk about Friday night. You got back in the seat, and, man, you just picked up right where you left off and taking the feature victory over there. How'd you end up in victory lane?
We had they got that group qualifying, so we were pretty good in qualifying, inverted the I think we started fourth in a heat race. We ended up winning a heat race, which, you know, definitely helped, you know, puts you in a position to redraw for the feature. And then we happened to redraw number one, so that, you know, with Attic Raceway Park, you get out front, and it's a lot easier when you start, first rather than 14th. So, you know, we did what we could, got out front, you know, try to just save my tires as much as possible. And, you know, on the last lap, going on a backstretch, and there was a red. So, and we've struggled, you know, the probably past 3 or 4 years, getting our air pressures to be correct after a red. So I was a little nervous, to come to find out that one of our bleeders, did stick. We came in, we only had 2 pounds of air in the right rear. So that's, you know, we're something we're getting better at, but we're not perfect at it. So we're still trying to work at it. And Christopher Bell threw a pretty good slider going into four on me, and I was lucky enough to see it just in time and was able to, get on the brakes and get, you know, basically dive back underneath him. So, being able to do that was nice. And to race with Christopher is awesome. I mean, the kid's got more talent than a lot of people realize, and I don't think we're going to be watching too much longer in a sprint car or dirt rank. So, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to say, I got to throw a slider back underneath him. So.
That is pretty neat. I was watching you guys on Saturday morning say kumbaya to each other, man. I was like, I was about ready to think you guys were going to, you know, go have lunch or something after that.
Yeah, I mean, the kids, you know, it feels weird me saying a kid, but then I mean, I feel like he's only about 10 years old. So, you know, I watched him, you know, come around this area when he was racing for Rick and you know, when he was still, you know, he came in and was immediately competitive in that car and he worked well with Rick, and it was, you know, it opened a lot of people's eyes. And, you know, since then, it's taken off. I mean, he's, you know, really good, and he's respectable, and all the guys around here like him. He's easy to talk to. So, you know, it's nice to be able to race with guys like that around here and to race clean. You know, there's nothing better than to put on a good show for the fans and both cars still be able to roll, you know, into the trailer.
Is he the guy that made you feel like you had that veteran moment, like, oh my word, I'm not the young kid anymore? Or was there a moment before that where you kind of went, okay, I'm not the young kid anymore. There's like this group of younger guys that are under me.
Yeah, you know, I had a guy actually call me a veteran the other day, and it made me sit back going, holy moly. You know, I don't know what classifies you as race car drivers as veteran. You know, but we've been doing this for 14 years, so, you know, I feel that I've had my ups and downs and that, but then I look, you know, Christopher and some of these younger kids coming up, you know, and it feels weird calling them a kid, but when they're, you know, 9, 10 years younger than you, you know, it's almost they're a kid, you know. I mean, I'm nowhere near, you know, some of like the Byron Reeds or them guys that, you know, have 20 to 30 years experience, but, you know, I look back and I, you know, not necessarily myself, but I mean, I was just there 14 years ago and hopefully it's, you know, it's good for our sport to have that amount of talent when, you know, that, you know, at that age and be able to bridge the gap between, you know, the older generation drivers and the younger generation drivers. It's kind of, you know, you definitely don't want them years where they just feel like there's, you know, not a lot of good talent in the seats. But, you know, you look all the way through from the young guys all the way even up to Steve Kinsey yet. I mean, everybody's still got talent.
And the best part is you and I are both years away. I mean, years and years away from being eligible for the Legends race at Fremont. So Craig Mintz joining us on the line. So now that you've sat out a few races and you're not in the point standings, what's the plan for the rest of the year? Are you going to be hanging around home still to finish out the season? Or does that maybe open you up to maybe go someplace or try something different later in the year?
I don't know exactly what we're going to do. You know, I know we're going to stick around home. It's just easier for us, you know, especially with our 40-hour work week job. It's very difficult to be able to provide, you know, to go out west or to go anywhere and to compete. So, you know, so we've talked about going some places, but nothing out of the ordinary. With being able to, not have to worry about points too, is, you know, if the family wants to go somewhere else, we'll just go somewhere else. Or if, you know, a couple of the guys in the crew have to do some things with their family, we just won't race. So it kind of gives us an opportunity to enjoy the summer a little bit and to have some fun.
Craig Mintz joining us. Well, Craig, we're glad to see you back in the seat and glad you're able to dust off pretty quickly and get that win. And it was good to see you back, and especially in that kind of fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it, and I'm glad that, you know, I want to thank all the fans and those that have stuck by me and knew that, you know, that I'd be back eventually. It just took me some time, and like we had mentioned earlier, I'm not getting any younger, and I definitely found from being 21 to 29 the difference of, you know, recovering and getting back on your feet after, you know, getting banged up a little bit. It definitely takes you a little longer.
I can attest to that as well. Well, Craig, best of luck the rest of the year. Look forward to seeing you later in the season.
All righty. Thanks, TJ.
That's Craig Mance. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have more of TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kinn, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live at racesontheweb.com. We just found another one of those buttons that doesn't work right in our new studio setup here. Oh boy, what a night. But anyway, getting back to business here, the driver with us next won the NRA portion of the Kings Royal program 2 weeks ago at Eldora Speedway, and then scored a couple of top three finishes that he'd probably like to forget at least one of them, I imagine. But the big win at Eldora is what we wanted to talk about with Dustin Daggett. And Dustin, it was interesting. I was talking to your uncle over the weekend. He said he didn't really realize how many people were there until you're on that stage. So what is it like to win a feature on Kings Royal weekend and to stand in front of all those people?
Well, it's pretty amazing. You know, you stand in front of these normal, you know, crowds at the normal racetrack, and you know, they're packed, and you think that's a lot of people, and then you look at Eldora being packed, and that is something else. So,
and
it's different.
And that weekend, it didn't start good for you. You guys broke the 360, and then the 410 wasn't going as planned. So the weekend didn't start out well. But, man, on Saturday, you just put it on them. I mean, you got on that front row. I mean, you didn't get it handed to you. You just absolutely annihilated the field there on Saturday.
Well, I had to make up for Friday, apparently. We burnt the motor down in qualifying Friday night for the 360 portion of it. And, so was running the 410. We didn't even bother changing engines that night. And then, we put the other motor in for Saturday, and it's, our backup to our backup, I guess. So, you know, it still runs pretty good. And, you know, we got out front and I didn't let her breathe that much.
It runs pretty good as he stuck it right at the top and basically just blew everyone away there. Could the car have been better? I mean, it looks like you guys had it right on the money. That's probably the best I've seen you look there in a car since you won that NRA feature a few years ago.
Yeah, the car was pretty good. You know, you can always say it could have been a little better, but, you know, that's probably the most comfortable I've felt in a car at Eldora. We ran the heat race, and I come in and told Uncle Tom, I told him, don't touch it. We didn't change tire, didn't change spacing, didn't do nothing to the car. We ran the same setup in the heat race as what we ran in the feature, and, you know, obviously it worked out for us, so.
And then, what did it mean to get that win with all your family there? How does it rank? Because you've won an NRA feature there. You've won an All-Star feature. You've won a lot of big races. Where did that one rank in your career, do you think, just based on the amount of people and the event it was at?
Well, you know, it didn't really occur to me that it was really that big of a race because of just being the 360 portion of it. But, you know, but still with the amount of cars that we had there, I think we had like 34 cars, which is a stellar field of cars. And, you know, of course the crowd, the people that get to see you race, and, you know, it's gotta be right up there. I mean, I still think my All-Star win was, you know, kind of up there, but I think this one does top it. So.
Dustin Daggett joining us. And of course, this weekend, you were part of the festivities last week when, a special guest showed up on Friday night to make a sprint car return at Tri-City Motor Speedway. And you're actually leading that thing. And then, all of a sudden you're back to third. What happened?
Well, lap cars became a factor. Shouldn't say got in my way, but, I messed up. That was my fault, and because I had the car to beat, and it was there's not much to say about that.
Yeah, but that facility is one of the newer ones, and it's kind of the new kid on the block. And to me, it's one that's kind of making its way up the ladder. It seems like that group seems to be making improvements over there. What do you think of Tri-City?
Tri-City is a really racy racetrack. I was talking with Tony Friday night there, and he actually said he really liked the track because of the way that it races. You know, there's room to pass. it's just a racy place, you know. They've been keeping it pretty dry slick. It's been having a top and a bottom, and you can pull sliders on people, and it's like, you know, it's fun to race. It's challenging, and, you know, it's racy.
What about that track makes it challenging as a driver for those of us that don't sit in the seat? Is it because it gets so slick that it's not easy to get a hold of something? Is it the shape? What about it is challenging?
Well, it's because it is so slick. It takes a lot of throttle control. It's a lot of setup in the car to make the car work like it should. And, you know, it's just a lot of driver skill to get the car to go around that racetrack really well.
Is that something that as you've gotten through your career, you feel like you enjoy more? Because it seems like the young guys love the hammer down racetracks and stuff and the go fast. But do you think that as you progress through your career, you actually are enjoying that slicker track where the skill comes in a bit more now?
Well, yeah, we all enjoy the wet racetracks when you can just put it on the floor and sit there. And, but, you know, and it's just another challenge. You know, there's so many slick racetracks up here in Michigan. You almost have to be good at them to do well in the series. So.
And this year you've done something a little bit different. You've done some pavement racing. And I remember a couple of years ago, you and I were at Spartan when you were running a race there for your grandfather. And we were sitting there where you were saying, man, I wish I knew what it was like to drive one of those really good, like really like the beast pavement cars that are specifically built for pavement. And this year you've gotten a chance to do that. So now that you've done it, what is it like, and is there anything that transfers at all from the dirt car to the pavement car?
I don't think there's a whole lot of anything that transfers over, other than, you know, I don't know, it's fun to drive when the car is set up right. When the car isn't good, then it's a pretty miserable time. But I was just getting used to running the thing, and we got handling good, and we blew the engine up in it. So, we got another engine in it now, and we'll be doing the Berlin race here in, I think, August. So, I got one more shot at, you know, doing something with it. And I think we can do something with it as long as we can hit the setup right.
And that gives you a shot at also possibly being one of the few guys that can say they've won on dirt and on blacktop at Berlin, because you won there last year, the big 360 show there, the 5,000 to win one when you passed Shane Stewart. Looking forward to that in September. Were you surprised how well that track raced last year?
Yeah, I was. It's got an odd shape to it. And it pretty much took me about half the feature to figure out how to really get around the place. But it's definitely a racy place. I was able to run around the top. A lot of guys were running around the bottom. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Outlaws pick up on it.
And of course, that 2-day show in September, and we're all looking forward to that. Well, Dustin, it was great to have you on again. It was really neat, as a Michigan resident. Funny story to tell you about that. You had just won, and you're getting on stage, and the family, and everything, and Earl Baltus, of all people, and Bernice look over at me and go, isn't that kid from your neck of the woods? I went, yeah, he just did the same thing he does to everybody else, it seems like. He just blew him away. But, even Earl and Bernice managed to notice your performance there on Saturday.
Well, that's good. At least somebody's noticing it.
Well, that's good. Well, Dustin, we definitely noticed, and we appreciate you being on, and, best of luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right, Dustin Daggett, and I'll tell you what, it's hard to meet a nicer family or a nicer kid than that one. He, I can't really call him kid anymore. He's getting up there in the veteran status, just like Mintz, but it's just, you know, he's the typical sprint car racer that stands on the gas, soft-spoken, like, yeah, I do all right, and that's okay, but man, he does his talking on the racetrack. So we're going to take another commercial break, and then we're going to recap the weekend of racing that we were able to take in. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic tickets. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and zero admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. All right, we remembered how you worked the buttons now. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. Comedy of technical errors this evening, but good show nevertheless with Terry McCarl, Dustin Daggett, and Craig Mintz. Thank all those guys for being on. This past weekend, the Michigan sprint car scene got a little bit of media attention, to say the least, when Tony Stewart decided to make his comeback Friday at the Tri-City Motor Speedway, virtually unannounced. We had a spotter spot the hauler, and I got some word that he was heading that way, and got some confirmation, and we waited as long as we could. We thought we waited long enough. Probably should have waited about another half hour. So, but nevertheless, a lot of people ask, why Tri-City? Why Sod? Why there? It makes a lot of sense when you think about it. It's a smaller racetrack. If you happen to take in the NASCAR teleconference, see some of the stories that came out of that today. Tony said he was going to look at some smaller, slower racetracks, get back in the feel of it. Well, Tri-City definitely does that. And one thing is, you're racing against a majority owner drivers for the weekend. So we were joking up in the tower at Eldora during the NRA event. When it went green to checkered, Jeremy Elliott from the Patriot News looks over me and goes, don't complain about anything. Yeah, it went green to checker. I said, yeah, because these guys have to fix the race cars that they wreck them. They're not a car owner. It's going to just have some employee fix it, and they go play golf the rest of the week. It doesn't work like that. These guys got to fix it and pay for this stuff. And I think that had a factor in it. Definitely, because, I mean, he wasn't going to get wheeled by somebody. And he's run with them now and knows that it's going to be clean, good racing, and that's what we had. And, oh, man, I was at Crystal Saturday. What a feature between Randy Hannigan and Dustin Daggett and Stewart. Second largest, loudest cheer of the night was for Stewart and Hot Laps. Loudest cheer of the night was when Dustin Daggett wheeled around him on the outside off turn two, and that place just went bananas when that happened. It might be the loudest cheer I've ever heard at Crystal Motor Speedway, and it was a neat deal. What was interesting about it is really Saturday's race over there didn't have any more of a big race feel to it than it would in Labor Day or even in the first race of the year. To me, that crowd's always pretty amped up. To me, it felt like just as big of a show, but it's great having those NRA teams up here. I want to thank them all for coming up, because that was a really neat program. And if you read the column I wrote on tjslideways.com, the blog about it. Is it a top five Michigan show? Absolutely. Without a doubt. I think at this point, as far as dirt races in Michigan, you have to count the World of Outlaws. Everywhere the Outlaws go, that's the biggest show pretty much in the land. The two Outlaw shows we have this year are probably going to be the biggest ones in the state. The All-Stars at Butler would be in there. I mean, the All-Stars still draw a lot of attention. It's a huge crowd over there for that. But, man, as far as biggest Sod show of the year in Michigan, you know, the Berlin one, we'll see how it goes in September. But, honestly, that one on Saturday might be the biggest one of the year. And I know there are a couple of other Sod NRA co-sanctioned shows. There's one this weekend at Butler. But there's something about Crystal. It's always drawn cars. You usually get a surprise or two there. It's not unusual to see somebody different pull in there. And it's been like that for, longer than Sod's been around, even 35, 40 years. It's just been a draw there, and it just works. And the other big story that we broke on here was the suspension of Randy Hannigan. And if you followed it throughout the week, on Monday we coined it Hannigate on Twitter. We started the Hannigate hashtag, and mainly because we're trying to figure out what happened. Well, we reviewed the tape, and we're like, okay, well, that's what happened. And there was a meeting. He was still suspended. And then late in the week, it came out. Actually, I didn't find out until Friday. Randy actually was able to buy, with the NRA's blessing, was able to buy a Sod membership, not race for NRA points. So he was a Sod member on Saturday night and went out. And he earned that one. I mean, not only he didn't start in the front row, but he did start in row two, got the lead. And then had to hold off Stewart and Daggett, and they were coming. I mean, Hannigan was on the bottom. He hadn't found the top yet. And those guys were coming around the top, and they were moving, because the top wasn't really good until later in the night. About 10 laps of the feature really came in. That's where Daggett and Stewart were making a lot of headway up. In fact, one thing I will say about Tony Stewart's performance, I expect him to be great. I mean, they didn't cut his brain or his right foot off. I mean, he broke his leg. So, I mean, it's not like the guy forgot how to drive a race car. So, you don't get that good and forget. So, he gets in the car. He looked really good, but restarts. That guy is maybe one of the best drivers I've ever seen on restarts. It's unbelievable. Even single file restarts. some of the things you watch him do is just absolutely phenomenal. There was one move in particular, I don't remember if it was in the feature or the heat race, where two cars slid up, and he just, I mean, phew, gone, through the hole, by three cars. And just little things like that, you know, just all night, where he would put a car on a restart. As phenomenal as he is, you know, just general driving, man, the restarts in the sprint car are just, you know, obviously there. I mean, that part of his game, you know, what else he has to work on, that's what he knows right now. But it was great to have him here all weekend, and I hope he enjoyed the mitten while he was here. But business is that Randy Hannigan won on Saturday, which is ironic after the whole week, Hannigate and everything else. So, of course, we're going to talk to Randy Hannigan. And here's what he had to say immediately following his feature win on Saturday at Crystal Motor Speedway.
Randy Hannigan, third mid-season championship here in a row here at Crystal Motor Speedway. And, man, it seems like you've just really taken to this place.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, when any racetrack gets, you know, where there's a curb or the cushion, you know, a lot of guys, I mean, you can just run wide open. It's kind of narrow, you know, but when it gets slick like that, it's a lot of fun. And, I mean, I moved all around that racetrack until I found a place that was pretty comfortable. I mean, I moved my line probably, you know, probably 10 times in that race. And I found a really good spot up top, getting into one and then squaring it off, running off the bottom. And it was just, it worked out really good. You know, I mean, I know, you know, anytime you got the guys that are from up here, you know, Dustin Daggett, Dahlman, you know, and then you got Tony Stewart and, you know, all the other cars from the other series, you know, that were here. You know, there's a bunch of good racers here. And, you know, we just were the ones that figured it out early on and got the lead and were able to hold on.
Now, you were kind of running around the bottom. You mentioned you moved around quite a bit. Did you hear someone coming that made you want to move to the top, maybe try that a little bit, or did you just find that on your own?
Well, you know, excuse me, on the yellow flags, you know, I mean, I'm always looking around and looking where the racetrack's at and, you know, if there's where the dust is at on the racetrack, because you can tell where guys are running. And, you know, I noticed it was smooth and there was some moisture up there. And I said, well, I'm going to, you know, wait till I have to get up there. And when I got up there, it stuck, you know. So I didn't want to show them early, but I knew that I didn't know, but I really thought it was going to be a good spot to run. But you just had to get above that little ridge getting into one there, and I was just very fortunate to get up above it, and it worked.
And, of course, you had cars closing on you at the end, but you managed to get through lap traffic better than they did.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, they're running after me, and it's my job to try to put everybody, as many cars as I can, between us. And, you know, one time it fell against me instead of for me. I got up to a guy, and I thought he was really going to run the bottom, so I went around the top, and he moved up, and it slowed a lot of my momentum and progress. And, you know, but I was able to get on and get by him and hold on. You know, I knew Dustin Daggett. I mean, that guy's tough. You know, you can't take nothing from him. The guy's a great competitor and a good person, and you got a great team. And I knew that him and Stewart were going to probably be the ones most likely coming up there. And sure enough, it was him.
All right, Randy, congratulations. Best of luck going into the big races here in the next 3 weeks or so.
Thanks a lot. You know, it was just kind of poetic justice.
Randy Hannigan, closing out a very eventful week. And talking to Randy offline, they don't really have any plans for this week. They may race, they may not. More than likely taking the week off, getting ready for the 360 and the 410 Nationals coming up. And it was a great show up at Crystal Motor Speedway. I have to thank Ron Flynn and everyone up there for the great program on Saturday. And it was a lot of fun. I can't wait to do that show. That one's going on the calendar permanently, I think. Even though it's the week after the Kings Royal, and after a big race like that, I generally like to take a week off and kind of chill out and not have to worry about stuff. But it was definitely worth the trip up there, and I think that's going to be a race we'll take in the future. And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Of course, I want to thank Terry McCarl and Dustin Daggett and also Craig Mintz for joining us this evening. Also, Randy Hannigan for the comments following Saturday night's feature event. We'll do this again at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Monday night, and we're just going to be aiming more and more towards the Knoxville Nationals. And 2 weeks from today, after this show, we're going to be throwing the last few things into a bag, and Tuesday morning, Mudcloud Bob and myself are going to be westward, hell, you know, heading off I-80, getting ready to go to the Knoxville Nationals. Hard to believe summer's winding down, but we'll have all the big races right here on racesontheweb.com. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.